Low oil prices just sucked some life out of gross domestic product. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Economic growth, as measured by gross domestic product, slowed to about half speed as autumn turned to winter. Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, sees oil stains all over this. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
All right, gross domestic product, I was looking at the range of predictions before the actual number came out, and what's happened here is at the low end of that range.
Well, that's right, and it's at the low end, 2.6% growth, despite the fact that consumer spending, which rose 4.3%, was even better than expected. So consumers are doing just great, which you might expect given the cheapest gasoline in years, but companies are taking it on the chin.
And they reacted quite quickly. For instance, if you were thinking of ordering some steel pipe to use in hydraulic fracturing to get domestic shale oil, you might have canceled the order, and then it shows up in GDP.
You know, this is something we talked about several weeks ago. Consumers benefit, but there's no urgency to spend the money they're saving at the gas pump.
So do you think this GDP number today means we'll never have a hike in interest rates?
I think it might delay it. Look, because another factor today, there was a huge increase in inventories, the biggest since 2010. So that sets us up for a weak first quarter, after which I think the worst of the damage to companies is behind us. But it could delay the Fed liftoff until the third quarter.
Chris Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you.
Thank you, David.
As we reported the other day, the boss is out at Mattel, the toy maker, with kids gravitating away from Barbie to all things digital. Today, Mattel reported sales down for the fifth straight quarter. Its stock is down 1%. The interim CEO says the plan is to proceed with a, quote, heightened sense of urgency. With gas prices near $2 a gallon, mass transit agencies are starting to worry that riders might drift away. But as Marketplace's Adam Allington reports, gas might not be the deciding factor when it comes to choosing car versus bus or train.
Use of public transit in the U.S. is at levels not seen since the 1950s. High gas prices are part of that growth, and now that costs are falling, some cities fear a drop-off in ridership. So far, that has not been the case in Chicago, at least. Brian Steele is a spokesman for the Chicago Transit Authority.
In the 2 months that fuel prices have been well below $3, we have not seen any significant shifts on either the rail side or the bus side.
Steele points out that gas is just one cost associated with driving a car.
Parking costs, insurance costs, maintenance costs.
But has transit use really gone up anyway? When you consider population growth, Ray Mundy says no.
Think of it in terms of inflation. As mass transit ridership in terms of a percentage increase each year kept up with inflation? No, hasn't come close to it.
Mundy is a transportation researcher at the University of Missouri. Despite increases in ridership, he says transit still only accounts for 5% of trips in metro areas. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And now a moment of poignance. Tomorrow's the last day of work for America's Postmaster General. Patrick Donahue spent his 40-year career at the post office through snow, wind, and gloom of night. And his successor will have a lot on her plate, from high-tech competition to employee pensions, Marketplace's David Gura reports.
The Postmaster General makes about $275,000 a year, but it is a difficult job.
It should come with free therapy sessions.
David Hendel is an attorney with Hush Blackwell, who specializes in postal service contracting.
It's a huge enterprise. If it was a corporation, it would probably be a top 25 company.
Bureaucracy may be one of the biggest problems that besets the agency. Presumably the incoming Postmaster General knows that. Megan Brennan started out as a letter carrier in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Hendel says the head of the Postal Service has a lot of people to please.
You've got so many different constituencies.
There are very few decisions you can make without approval, according to Gene Del Polito. He heads a trade group called the Association for Postal Commerce.
When you're Postmaster General, you really have 535 members of your Board of Governors. They're all members of the U.S. Congress, and they all think they know your job better than you do.
In a farewell speech a few weeks ago, Postmaster General Donahue had a message for lawmakers. They need to find new ways to build consensus.
The narrow interests cannot continue to get in the way of the broader national interest.
Donahue singled out retiree health care benefits. The Postal Service is required to pre-fund them, something it's not been able to do for years now. And lawyer David Hendel says pensions are a growing problem.
People are living longer and longer lives, and therefore you can't really put enough away today for the liability later, or you haven't done that.
Hendel says there's this expectation that the Postal Service should be run like a business. But Rick Geddes, who teaches policy analysis and management at Cornell, says the Postmaster General's lack of autonomy has kept the USPS from being as nimble as it's needed to be.
We need to have fundamental postal reform at the legislative level that allows the Postal Service to adapt better to the realities of the communications marketplace.
Geddes says that'll be something the new Postmaster General will push for, just as her predecessor did. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And in Sweden, there's an office park where they inject your hand with a little identity chip. The employees can then use their hand to karate chop through security, wave to use the photocopier, or get crullers and coffee at the company cafeteria. Thing is, I already use my hands for all of these things, and nobody injected me with anything. A BBC reporter got one injected in his hand as a test and said it hurt. Poor Bubula. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.